welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to the French Connections Tuesday edition. Today's date, of course, is the 24th day of February 2009. My name is Al Bradford Smith again. Great to be back with you on this most important of broadcasts. I want to extend my my heartfelt appreciation to the management of CII for standing beside me in a difficult time here with false attacks having been levied against my programming. You know, one of the things they did ask me to do on CII is to try to bring a few extra referencing to the facts that I share with you on this broadcast, and I will try to do that. But much of what has been stated on the French Connection can be found on my website. And that website is iamthewitness.com, and I apologize to people with slow internet access. If their speed is very slow, it takes a while for my front page to add on their screen. And the problem with that is I don't have a fast connection here by first world standards, but by people out in the farthest reaches of Africa and areas like that, we still have slower connection speed. So I'm trying to whittle down the size of the front page so you all can have access to the information more easily. But the documentation has been done, especially about the things around 9/11. We know that the involvement of Israel in that attack is beyond argument at this point. The airlines flew out of two cities principally during that whole thing, and both of them were being guarded by a company called Huntley International, which is a children of a founder of the Mossad from Israel. This founder's children started this company, Huntley International, and a subsidiary or a filial of that company was the security at Logan's Boston International Airport as well as the Newark Airport. We also know that Mr. Frank Lowy, involved out of Australia, was involved in the purchase of the buildings along with Silverstein. We know the amount of information that has come out against Israel having been involved in this, with the help of elements within Britain and elements within the American government itself, are absolutely beyond argument at this point. And so much so that I don't spend a whole lot of time on that. I think we've already proven that one. Does it get mainstream play? Not like it should, of course. But the fact is 9/11 and 7/7 in London were both staged attacks, and they had nothing to do with Islam. They were not Muslims involved. You all will recall that many of the people blamed for the 9/11 attack were actually still alive, and so it was a fraud from the start. But other things that we discussed the other day about world Zionism and why would anybody purport support for such an organization in the face of the things that we know about this organization. And the fact is, Zionism is not Judaism, although the leaders of Zionism are Jewish. But it would be like saying that all Italians are bad because of what the La Cosa Nostra or the Mafia, Italian Mafia, does. Of course, we know better than saying that all Italians are bad, and it would be ridiculous to make that statement. Would you be angry at somebody? Basically, Zionism is a political movement or a geopolitical movement that has its support base in Christianity in the United States. Over the last 40 years, they've built a very powerful Zionist following in Christianity, sadly, for the rest of us. But we also see Zionist governments in the Middle East. We see Jordan is a Zionist-controlled government. We see Egypt, a Zionist-controlled government. Up until recently, we saw that Turkey was completely Zionist-controlled, and they have been since the caliphate was overthrown. We see that Morocco is a sympathetic government to Zionism. So, we know that this is a movement that has many players and many elements. And for me to tell you that that every Jew is involved would be a bold-faced lie, and I've never made that statement. So be clear that we are looking for honest, good, righteous people from the Jewish community who don't want any part of this. Another thing that I said last week was that 40% of the Jewish community is not in support of Zionism. Well, that's not a misstatement. Out of the 16 million worldwide in the Jewish community, many people in the Jewish community have left their religion. They no longer go to synagogue, and they have married women outside of Judaism. In other words, men have married women who are not Jews, and vice versa. Women have married men who are not Jews. And they don't go to synagogue. They're not religious. And their numbers are growing. And in fact, there have been many, many articles written about the exodus from the Jewish religion because of things that people clearly found maybe objectionable or whatever in their faith. But also people not wanting to migrate and immigrate into Israel. You know, this mass migration that took place after the fall of the Soviet Union puffed up their numbers for a very long time, but that has certainly leveled off and now is no longer growing as they once had. And then, of course, there are organizations and groups across the world right now that are absolutely against what's been done in Palestine, and they are screaming at the top of their lungs, even in Israel. And the fact is, you can get better reporting on these people that don't want Zionism to be doing these crimes in Israel than you can in the United States. Why? Because, of course, the press in the United States and all the major networks are in the hands of this group. And that is also beyond argument. You can look that up in any place that you want to. Just type in American press controlled by Zionism, and you will find probably thousands of articles to read about this. You know, the top management, the main investors, all the anchor people, the people reporting the news, the people doing the CNN reports, and Christiane Amanpour and all of the rest of them that have spun the lie machine. What's her name? Khan there. Anyway, this woman from CNN that did a hit piece on several people in the truth movement not 2 years ago. Paula Zahn, her name was. Another Zionist Jew that was working against the facts to come out. So, yes, there is proof and evidence for all of these accusations. They're not accusations. They are facts once you've looked at the evidence. So I don't shoot from the hip here. The research has been done. And, you know, the research has also been done on the financial malaise that we're all suffering. You know, even the bad guys now, which they are responsible for the mess, they committed a mass larceny, a mass crime against the countries of the world by stealing from the public purse through puffing up credit markets and then imploding them as they have now. And what we see is a financial failure is on our immediate horizon here. We know this is true. We know the people involved in it are clearly in from the same camp that we have been describing for the longest time. And now we see a Rothschild agent starting to take over banks or the management of banks here in France. No lies involved in this, ladies and gentlemen. And recently, AmericanFreePress.net, if you go to that website, Michael Collins Piper wrote an article about the 10 most powerful people in the Obama administration being Zionists, and that they work for Rothschild. And it's very clear, he puts them on here, named Peter Orszag and Office of Management and Budget, and Peter Roos, and Lawrence Summers, and Ezekiel Emanuel, and, I mean, the list goes on. And, yes, all of these things are researchable. So when someone makes a statement that we don't have the, we're not making statements of fact, I beg to differ, and I will debate anybody on these facts anytime they wish, including the people we discussed last week, which I will make a comment about that. You know, the radio station and me particularly being assaulted for the content of my programming here was nothing more than an attempt to silence the truth. And the fact is that the radio station has had the good sense and the strength to say, wait a minute here, the things that Mr. Smith has been saying on this programming, as far as we can tell, are right on the money. And then I brought up the fact that why would anybody be supporting the kinds of killings that have gone on in Palestine? And in fact, the group that I focused on last week is supporting Israel's assault on Gaza and the Palestinians. That's a fact. Now, it would be a good idea, I think, for everybody to present this information to the press that is not controlled in your country or South Africa or the world and say, wait a minute, how about let's take a look at how the people feel about this? And I will guarantee that they will support my message. I guarantee it. And they will not only support it in 51%, they'll support it in mass, in the 80-90% range. I guarantee that. But they don't want to argue about facts. They want to make false statements about me being anti-Semitic, which is which is the old canard, ladies and gentlemen, that that people have been getting basted with liberally over the last 50 years. And the simple truth is it's not accurate and it's not true. So another thing I want to bring up with you folks, recently it was brought to my attention through an article that PepsiCo, you're all familiar with Pepsi, a soft drink company that also makes Quaker Oats, and they also make Tropicana orange juice and some other products, has been investing in promoting homosexual and gay lifestyles. They in fact gave an advertising campaign millions of extra dollars to try to promote homosexuality. Why would a company do that? I have absolutely no idea. But a group in America called the Family, I don't know where they are right now, but it's a group that cares about family values, basically, has come out and said that they would like to see the world boycott these products from PepsiCo, Tropicana and Quaker Oats and Pepsi Soda, different brands within Pepsi's marks. Like, I think Mountain Dew is made by Pepsi as well. I personally am in agreement with this woman that I read about. She said that we should boycott them. I think we should. You know, I am not against people who have made lifestyle choices based upon their predisposition for being homosexual. And I got to tell you, it's been my experience that there are some people, some men and some women that I've met that are this way and probably were from birth. And so, you know, how is it that I could blame somebody for something like that? I could not. I wouldn't do that. My problem is, and I would like the listeners to think about this, my problem is that they're trying to promote this as a choice for others, not predisposed. They're trying to make this a first choice for people who would not normally ever be disposed to this kind of ideal. And I am fully and completely against that. That's wrong-headed thinking. It's problematic in many, many ways, from a health standpoint as well as a social and family standpoint. And I find it to be offensive in the extreme that they would be doing this kind of promoting, and I urge everybody to consider boycotting their products, to send them a message that that's not the kind of values you want people to have, and especially trying to sell you products. That being said, tonight's programming we're going to be bringing on here in just a moment is with a friend of mine named Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. We worked together on a timeline of the Rothschilds. It has been the most downloaded story on my website over the last 3 years since we posted it on the site. It's had millions of hits, millions of downloads. And it was put together originally by Andrew under the name of Anonymous Andy, and it came from information he gleaned from my website, and we started putting it together, and each 2 or 3 weeks, Andrew would find new information and add to the list, and we would get more stuff out, and it just grew into a very powerful timeline. And what you find today is it turned actually into a book called The Synagogue of Satan, and it is a very detailed timeline on the Rothschilds' involvement in the world's power structure and control. And we're going to bring him up in just a minute after these messages, so we'll be right back after these messages, ladies and gentlemen.
Assalamu alaikum, listeners. This is Usman Ahmed from Shura Flywall Travel. We have a 13-night, 14-day Umrah tour departing on Saudi Arabian Airlines. Departures are the 9th of April, returning on the 23rd of April, departing 13th April, returning 27th April, departing 20th April, returned 4 May. 6 nights in Medina Munawwara at the Sufra Al Huda Hotel in Medina with breakfast. 7 nights in Makkah Mukarrama at the Makkah Towers, a room only. The complete package from Johannesburg, sharing 2 in a room, is 17,450 per person, or 4 in a room at 13,300 per person. For any further information, you're welcome to visit our website, shureflywell.com, or you're welcome to contact our office in Pretoria, 012-374-2041, or Cape Town, 021-761-5044.
The recent intense aerial bombardment on Gaza has left scores of people killed and hundreds more injured. The bombings have taken the lives of civilians, including women and children. The blockade of Gaza has also forced more than half of its 1.5 million population to be dependent on humanitarian assistance. The Al Imdad Foundation has been delivering humanitarian and developmental assistance in Palestine through our partners in Gaza and by our offices in Amman, Jordan, for the last 5 years. Donate online by visiting alimdad.com or call 0861-786-243 for more information.
The French Connection with Daryl Bradford-Smith.
Great to be back, ladies and gentlemen. We've got our guest coming up, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. We're going to discuss some of the, and in fact, we're going to bring forward some facts about the history of this particular family, this family called Red Shield or Rothschild, and not necessarily the beginnings, because I think everybody who's spent any time listening to the French Connection knows the beginnings of this, this what I'm going to call a supremacist crime gang internationally. But the South African audience as well has a history with these people that needs to be clarified as well. And I thought it would be a good idea to maybe chew up a few of the facts and put them out before the South African and Pan-African public, because Africa is a new target for resources, as it has been for the last 25, 30 years. And it's intensifying. As there are depletions coming in other parts of the world, such as Australia and such, and they're looking toward areas of the globe where they can go in and displace the native populations, either that or get these native peoples to start working in their mines or in their factories or in whatever else that they can put together. So, but I'm going to bring them up right now. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, right? Andrew.
Hello, Joe.
Andrew, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me now?
We've got a bad connection there for Andrew. Maybe you'll bring him back up in just a moment, try to get that line cleared again, engineer. Well, what we do know, ladies and gentlemen, is that at the beginning of the last century, 1900 to 1908, was an intensive period of displacement for people in South Africa, culminating in what was commonly known as the Boer War. What it ended up doing is shifting the power structure in that country from the hands of the agrarian residents to a more mining industry-centered government that from behind the scenes was controlled lock, stock, and barrel by elements within those 1 square mile of London and the Jewish community out of New York, as well as family members of these people in South Africa itself. And sadly for us, this group succeeded in their aims of subjugating South Africa and forcing its population, because of starvation and terrible hardship, into these mines that they built. And then they began to exploit the mineral wealth of the country, often extracting 80 to 90% of its value and spiriting that value out of the country. Now, the infrastructure that was built in Cape Town and Johannesburg and Pretoria and other areas was certainly came from the business element there that were running these mining organizations, but the profits that had been taken out were in fact going into the hands of this pool of criminals, in my view. Are we back with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock? We still don't have Andrew there. My engineer, maybe you can. Andrew, are you with me?
Hello, Dale.
Oh, Andrew, you sound like you're way in the background there. Are we connected correctly here? Andrew?
I can hardly hear you now, and I can't do this.
This is a very bad connection, my engineer. Maybe what we'll have to do here is get another phone call over to him and see if we can't make this connection once again. I will. I hope I don't have to speak for the whole 2 hours here, because my... I will just shrivel up and croak here, but okay. And anyway, this is now taking place. The same events that took place in South Africa or similar events are now taking place in the Congo region. And Congo has, what they've done is they've fomented terrible battles between ethnic minorities within the far-flung areas of the Congo in order to clear out land rights and clear out access for these. The next mineral grab, if you will, and you will be able to guarantee that the Congo will never profit largely from this, and most of the value of that will be taken from the Congolese and shipped out. It's also happening in the Sudan, in Chad, and they're setting up the same kind of situation in Zimbabwe, expanding the mining industry there.